Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. Southern California tickets are now on sale for the Steel Wars 200th podcast live at the Scum and Villainy Cantina on Saturday the 2nd of February at 3:30 p.m. And we will be joined by special interview guest Eric Walker, who played Mace Tuani in the 80s Ewok made-for-TV films A Caravan of Courage, An Ewok Adventure, and Ewoks, The Battle for Endor. Get ready for behind-the-scenes stories from the films, what it was like to work with Warwick Davis, and of course, the maker, George Lucas. Plus, we'll have a special audience mic set up if you've got a question to ask too. And if you can, hang out for a bit after the show and take in all the fun of the Scum and Villainy Cantina. Pre-sale tickets are just $10 and are available from steelwars.com or $12 on the door from the Scum and Villainy Cantina. I cannot wait to talk Ewoks with Eric and I hope to see you there. But for now, let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Strothers Wars. I am Eric Strothers, and I do love Steel Wars. And in each episode, I find a Patreon supporter to talk about it with. In this episode, I talk to Katie McCourt. You might recognize that name from an infamous Steel Wars After Dark blog pod appearance from San Diego Comic-Con 2017. Katie has a really unique take on Star Wars fandom, and I had a super good time talking to her, and I think you guys are for sure going to enjoy her episode picks. Katie, thanks so much for doing this episode of Strothers Wars with me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for asking me on.
You picked some awesome episodes, and so we, Katie and I, just a little inside baseball, decided that we were going to just listen to all the episodes in their entirety and not actually make the show, but we figured that probably wasn't the best way to do it, so we'll get to those in just a minute, but what I want to do is start out like Steel always does with his guests and ask you about your Star Wars fandom. When did you first get into Star Wars?
Oh my god, so I was 4, and Return of the Jedi was my first live-action film of all time. And I don't precisely remember probably the first time I watched it, but I do remember, like, the most vivid, like, first memory I have of Star Wars is just, and I think I've told Steel this before, but it was I think I've said this, like, probably on a show when I was very drunk before, but, so when Luke walks into Jabba's palace and says, "You'll bring Captain Solo and the Wookiee to me," and like takes his hood off, like that was such a defining moment for me. I have that. I don't know like what time I watch it. I probably wasn't 4 when I like distinctly remember that part, but I remember rewatching that film like god just like tens and tens and tens and tens of times before I ever watched any of the other ones. Not that I would have really understood, right? I didn't really care that I already knew Darth Vader was his father. And yeah, I didn't watch A New Hope until like after the prequels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the last one I watched, and I don't know why. I just like never went back to it. Yeah, and the prequels, like, I really loved. I was obsessed with everything Padme ever wore. I wanted all of it. I was really in love with it, but I didn't get like really, really, really into it until I like finally, into it, I guess, on like a fandom level until high school, and then more so after college, because like, oh my god, in college dealing with fandom at the same time of like juggling, I had like 3 jobs and like 5 classes, and it wasn't going to happen. Plus with The Force Awakens, I shut down because I was so nervous about how that film was going to turn out. I didn't want to hear a single leak. I didn't even know what I didn't want to know what Adam Jarver's face looked like. Like, I wanted absolutely nothing. The first time I saw Adam Jarver's face was in the film. Like, I did not look. I, like, completely blacked. I did not want to know absolutely anything. So, I ended up getting more back into the fandom after I graduated college, which was, what was that? It was, like, the end of 2016. And Steel Wars was the first podcast I really came across. And I kind of forget how it happened, but he was like my first big introduction into the very niche corner of the fandom outside of another part I was already in. But yeah, like he has such a genuine and just fun way of looking at it. I mean, I tend to get involved in a lot of the drama in this fandom, and it's just so refreshing. and it's pretty much anywhere, like, within that Making Star Wars, like, family, if you will. There's just such refreshing perspectives that just care about the canon and just want to have fun with it. And that's, and like, it, me as a person, like, I don't always have fun with it because I take a lot of it very seriously and I understand that. So it kind of like checks and balances like me out from getting too into fictional characters. So
it's hard not to do that, though. It definitely is. I totally get what you're saying. And the fortitude of going in 100% spoiler free, or I don't even know if not seeing Adam Driver's face, you could consider that a spoiler or not, but to be able to do that going into The Force Awakens, that's crazy.
I was so nervous for how that film was going to turn out. I think because I was terrified of what would happen to Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker means a lot to me. it turned out okay, right? Because he's not really in it. it's like, okay. And I love his arc in The Last Jedi, so. You know, I think he's been handled really well. But there's just a lot of like probably semi-irrational fear. But yeah.
I get it. I was actually supposed to have a gig that night. And so my buddy and I planned, okay, we're going to the Thursday night showing, obviously. But we had to go to the one, it was 1 a.m. because I didn't, but I mean, my phone was off. No chance of this getting spoiled for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. So, what do you consider your favorite Star Wars movie now after all this time?
Oh, now it's The Last Jedi by 10 miles. Just as like somebody who's very into viewing any literature from the psychoanalytic lens. I mean, that film is just really intense in terms of how much, like, especially on Jungian and Christevian analysis and imagery that's in that film, including... I mean, there's a lot of Freudian imagery as well, but I'm not as in touch with Freud, so I had to read a lot of other friends' analysis who do know a lot about Freudian psychology and film. But, oh my god, like, there are so many nuances to just the way that that movie is laid out. Like, even the lighting foreshadows character development. And just the way that the characters do develop. As a woman, I highly appreciate Rey and how she... like how they portrayed her going through her trauma of basically suppressing everything that's ever happened to her. And a lot of times when you have a story that's told through the female perspective, especially in big blockbusters like this, it's not pulled off very well. So to see that pulled off in a way that was really well done and really emotional and really dark. I mean, I think people may gloss over a little bit, like her parents were dead the whole time and they were like buried beneath her feet. Like that's dark, and she just like, you know, suppressed it to not deal with it. And I'm a massive Kylo Ren fan, and the way that his arc was treated was, you know, is going really well and was really well done, and Adam Driver's incredible actor, and then of course how they handled Luke was just exceeded my expectations, because I was really terrified that they would just, you know, keep him on as this like, you know, grandiose hero. And as much as like I love that and I wanted maybe a little bit more of that moment, I mean, that final battle between him and Kylo Ren is just, again, it goes down to like the symmetry of it and what it means of the gravity of it and what they did with like him like emerging. I mean, I don't want to get into all the 40 analysis on this podcast. But like, kind of essentially emerging from, like, frankly, what's like a symbolic womb onto this, you know, red salt. And, you know, as it goes forward, it's covered by white as, you know, both of the characters, you know, Luke finally comes to, like, or atones in his own way for what he felt like he did. And Ben comes closer to, you know, his own symbolic rebirth and realizing, you know, he has everything he ever wanted, but he doesn't actually have anything. Oh my God. Sorry. I can go. There's so much that film.
It's totally okay.
I cannot believe how much stuff is in that film that they got into a blockbuster.
I like your take on The Last Jedi, and, you know, especially with the psychological analysis of it and the aspects of that. That is a really cool way to look at it, because you're right. I was trying to explain the whole notion of that big cleft in that door and what that represents to one of my friends, and I think he thought I had lost my mind.
No, but it's like weird. Like, if you don't, like, I've read a lot of Carl Jung, and I know this movie was actually more taken off of Robert Bly and more like his view on the human shadow than the Jungian view, but it all feeds into the same thing. Oh, like the thing with oh my God, like the scene in the theater that I was just like, oh my God, is like my it's probably my favorite scene in all of Star Wars, actually, because previously my favorite scene in all of Star Wars is, and I, you know, you can tell I'm kind of a one-trick pony. There's like one thing that will get me in film, and if you do it, congratulations, I'm your biggest fan. But like with Luke in the cave in Dagobah, where he cuts off the head of Vader and he sees himself. So, you know, the idea of, or the Jungian idea of facing the shadow. And so this happens to Rey, right? But it's like, she reaches out and like literally touches her Jungian shadow on the other side of that mirror, which, you know, people can fight me on this, but it's Kylo Ren. And then it goes away and it's just her. And Kylo has always been, you know, in terms of the anima animostomatic dynamic, like he's always represented the parts of her that she easily could have expressed, but she never did. And just having that visualized in such a literal way, but not so literal that it's just like too heavy-handed, is really incredible, I think, on Rian Johnson's part, because it's so easy to like go down the rabbit hole with that kind of stuff.
I appreciate the deep dive into it. You've obviously given it a lot of thought. That's really cool. So now I'm going to have to go read that Carl Jung book and then go back and watch The Last Jedi for the millionth time and really think about it. Okay, well, we have to talk about Steel Wars now.
Yeah, sorry.
This will be the longest Strathers Wars episode of all time. Do you remember the first episode of Steel Wars that you heard?
Yeah, so, oh my God, what's Jamie? It's not the guy who did the Empire Strikes Door. Is that what it is? The documentary on the guy who hit his head on the
Oh yeah.
And like trying to track down that stormtrooper. I don't know what happened to that documentary, but yeah, that was the first episode. And then I went back from there. But I pretty much immediately signed up for the Patreon, because he's just like, he has a way to just make you so effortlessly happy. And it was just something I like really deeply appreciated. So his shows are always so much fun, and they're easy to listen to, but it's not like just, it's not unintelligent, maybe. I don't know if that's the correct word I'm looking for, but.
Right. Yeah. It's not lowbrow. It's not fluff.
Yeah. Fluff's a good word. Yeah.
It's, yeah. The content is great. It's really pointed. It's really well executed, but it also doesn't crush you to listen to it. So that's a good way of putting it. Now, the way that you gave me your list of episodes, you, interesting approach here. So it is in order from 7 to 1, with 1 being your favorite, which that is extremely efficient. And let's just jump right into them. So the first one you mentioned is episode 134 with Mike Quinn, and he was the puppeteer for Nine Numb, and It's a really, really cool episode. But what about it in particular stuck out to you?
Yeah, so Yeah, Mike had gone to a meetup, or not a meetup. It was a 40th anniversary, like, get together party with ILM. And yeah, he just speaks to just the impact of ILM and being around those people. And I don't feel like ILM gets enough credit, at least in fandom circles. And granted, you know, this isn't saying like, oh, we should stop giving, you know, like Mark Hamill credit. But we do tend to hyper-focus on more like the front end, if you will, which is, you know, totally fine. I mean, again, I do the same thing. But, you know, like I worked with ILM in my job and just, you know, seeing what they do and just the impact that they've had on art and especially on technology. It was just cool hearing kind of that the insider perspective and just understanding like the weight of what this franchise means to so many people. And he goes on to talk about, you know, what George Lucas has created just in terms of not only like the franchise and what it's done for storytelling, but what it's done just for jobs in art and technology.
Yeah, you piqued my interest with speeches. What sort of speeches were given?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. A lot of the sort of heads of the effects departments gave a lot of Ken Ralston and Ben Burtt and the, you know, the original guys that were there. Yeah, they told stories about the birth of ILM and for example, how Fox turned them down and didn't want to spend any money on getting these effects up and running with their, I guess, their original, you know, I guess when they were trying to shoot things like the Go Motion cameras or Death Star stuff or whatever it was, the optical printers and I don't know what, all the amazing things that were really trying to get off the ground that were going to cost another million here and whatever. And they were kind of fighting that at the beginning, fighting the studio. It was very funny. So, yeah, they were just sort of talking about the birthing of it all. It was all recorded though, I think, and I think online there are some videos, some edits too somewhere of some stuff. Ooh. but yeah, it was really, really nice to just be in the presence of such genius and hear about the roots of this part, this rebirthing of the visual effects industry that has affected all our lives. And that was something I discussed with Gary Kurtz too. He just sort of talking with him about how, you know, how I wouldn't be here now if it weren't for Star Wars. And he just turned around and said, same here. So I think we're all in the same kind of boat. It's like, how did this happen? But, you know, what a great, wonderful thing for us all, whether we're fans or whether we worked on it or both, you know. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think pretty well everyone that has worked in any capacity on these projects are fans anyway.
It's a perspective that we don't talk about a lot. I mean, again, it's just usually not front of mind. And it was, yeah, it was cool hearing that perspective.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love about episodes like that too, is just anybody who's been involved in the making of the movies from a, like he's immersed in it, but he's not like this huge recognizable name. And it's really cool to hear their take on what it was like doing the movies. And that, you know, for a lot of times this is a legit job that I do. And I love, of course, that Steele asked him about the tucking Yoda in.
Yes.
I knew that was going to come up.
Yeah. Oh my God. What if it happened to that? I was always expecting a sticker off of the Tuckers, and
that's a good question.
Where's my sticker, Steele?
Yeah, man, come on, we deserve it. You owe it to us. I think, you know, one of the things that I really dig about that episode is that obviously Nye and Numb is a puppet, but I guess I shouldn't say obviously, because in my head, I never cared one way or the other.
Oh, growing up, like, I didn't realize it.
There's this guy. Yeah. And it wasn't until I was older, but it never took me out of the movie. I'm like, oh, look at that guy with the pancake face. But to hear like just how it was done, and that inside baseball view on that stuff is really cool. And I know for some people, they don't want to see how the soup gets made, but yeah, I think it's neat.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially again, like I think one of the most amazing aspects about Star Wars are the things that you know, whether it's the score or whether it's the technology and art design and everything that goes on behind it. I mean, again, like I hyper focus on like the meaning of it all. Like I absolutely do that. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think Star Wars' biggest achievement is what it has contributed to technology and to how we view art. But I mean, especially, I mean, again, what I was saying when I work with ILM, so we work, I work in mixed reality technology, and what they've done with that is just insane. Like what they're doing with the Void with VR is really cool. And then of course, you know, what they're doing, you know, just, you know, from every movie that they like, they touch, oh my God, like every freaking movie, like Skywalker Sound or ILM is, you know, somewhere in those credits, right? Like they are just a force, no pun intended. And I love watching all the behind the scenes stuff on like, you know, for the original trilogy, especially because of where technology was at that time. It's so cool.
It is pretty amazing. So, okay. So your next episode in the list, it deals with Star Wars grievances, and I will ask you what your particular Star Wars grievance may or may not be in a second, but it is the Live Call-In Show episode 39 with Brian Young from the Full of Sith podcast. And I can tell you personally, when I was listening to this, there were several things that came up that didn't bother me to the extreme that it bothers some people, but man, his calm, reassuring voice to talk you down from the ledge is pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, I think he's really good at understanding canon, you know, especially for me, where I take it to a very transformative place a lot. he's just very, well, this is what happened. I appreciate that.
Now, the time span that you have in here, if I am not mistaken, that this involves friend of the podcast, Robbo.
So this was like my first introduction to Robbo. and yeah, like now we do several podcasts together and I've met him a few times and he's like absolutely one of my favorite people in this fandom and such an amazing person. And I think so he had called in on a few other shows that I had called into and like obviously I've heard him before, but this was like the first time where I was like really conscious of what was going on. So he called in and did this like, gosh, I think it's like it's gotta be over 15 minutes, if not longer. The clip I put in there is not the whole thing. It just ends with I think Steele's best acting bit.
A different way of approaching this, of my grievance, is we're going to act it out. We're going to do some role playing. Is that okay?
Sure.
Steele, I want you to play the part of Mace Windu and anyone else who needs to be there. All right.
I'm Mace Windu. In what scene is this?
We're going to start with the scene where Anakin talks to Palpatine and he finds out that he's a Sith Lord. And then he goes to Mace Windu and says, hey, this guy's a Sith Lord. And then they come back and then there's the big betrayal and everything, right?
I look up the script. Is that how good I have to be?
You could. You don't have to read. We can paraphrase it. Just don't say anything that's, you know, says you as Mace Windu. Like, you don't have to
have
say
fun
the
with
party's
it.
Over. You can say your own horrible cliche. So, like, you know. Like, okay. So, and then, although Brian, I don't think you have to do the Palpatine voice because he's kind of like kind of switching back and forth. You could. I think that would really help, you know, for the, like the theater of the mind for the listener. And I'm going to be Anakin. So okay, all right, you get the first word because you're the boss Jedi. So we're showing up. Mm-hmm. We caught him red-handed. Is there a party going
Shave.
On?
Needs to be... Yeah. Hey, Shave. You know that celebration that you have been having? Well, you can cancel that. It's over. You're coming into arrest. Don't do anything surprising or shocking, please. This is not the time nor the place.
I actually have taken over control of the government and have turned public opinion against you, and now I'm going to murder you all, except for you, and I'm going to play helpless while the person that I'm counting on is going to show up. Because you never counted on him.
But he did count on me to, like, watch you and report carefully. He counted on me to escort the Princess Teasy Buns over there back to her planet. And they counted on me to rescue you and all that. But I see your point. Well taken. So they fight, right? There's fighting. And now you've killed Squid Jedi and the other one I forget.
Kid Fister, Stacey Teen, and Agent Kolar.
Okay, they're all dead. They must really suck because you're super old. So it's just you and Mace Windu, right? What's
yes.
Palpatine say? How does he get him over there? They're both calling to me, right? You're both calling me. I'm hearing you both.
Anakin, help me. I'm good.
I have the power to save the ones you love.
Oh, that's right.
I've been a dick to you all your life. Help me. Remember all those times I was a real prick? Come on, help me.
Second movie.
I'm still really confused by the whole thing, but it's just so funny. And I really think because we don't have Star Wars Christmas this year, he should just take that and make it into a 2-hour movie. And Brian and Steele, they should just try it all over again.
Now, was this the episode where he gave Brian the dit, 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 dit?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's weird. No, but like Steele's acting is the best thing in this episode. Yeah.
I can remember where I was, like, geographically when I heard this episode. Like, I can picture it so well.
You know, isn't it the best though? Like, I have a better example, I guess, for, you know what? No, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to tell this because it shows up, I think, in the next one.
So let me ask you this. Do you have a Star Wars grievance that sticks out to you?
You know what? I guess it's a pretty normal one. It's, I Padme's death gets me. I don't like the woman die of a broken heart trope.
I've
kind of gotten around it by believing the fan theory that Palpatine took her life, and I do think it's fairly convincing. But I don't think the novel supports it, so I don't like the whatever. I believe in it to make myself feel better, but I don't. I think it's probably wrong.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
But the breathing, like, does line up. Like, she stops breathing, and then he starts breathing. Like, it has, you know, there's some stuff there.
Yeah, and the sound design, like, some of the other aspects of it with the heartbeat and stuff like that, they intentionally lined it up. And, yeah, so I could buy into that. I have the Revenge of the Sith novelization on a shelf behind me, and so many people said, oh, you got to read it, you got to read it. And I haven't made time to do it yet. I always say I watched the video book of that one, but I definitely do want to get it because I hear it really, really takes it to a whole.
Good. I think because it references Shmi a lot more, and I think Shmi is such an incredible motivator to Anakin's fall that obviously is addressed in Attack of the Clones, but it kind of falls out once you get to Revenge of the Sith, and a lot of it's transferred just to Padme. But obviously a lot of that is still, like, his obsession with Padme is still based on losing his mother, right? And I don't think they bring that back into full focus as much, but the book definitely does.
Oh, very good. I'll definitely have to read it then. All right, so next up we have episode 132. And I got to point out here, actually, I believe you pointed this out to me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is that several of these are live episodes, which they are a special brand of magic, I gotta say. But this is Nick Mason, a quote-unquote George Lucas, and Jonathan Schuster at the International Comedy Festival. And I know what I dig about this one, but tell me what you like about it.
All right, so this is the one when you said, like, you know the geographic location of when you listen to these episodes. So I will either be listening to Steel Wars in the car while I do a lot of data analytics for my job. So sometimes when you're in a data cleaning mode, like, it's really monotonous and semi-brainless. So you could just throw something on in the background. Or when I'm playing Dynasty Warriors 4 in particular, that's the only video game. Yes, I know, it's PS2, whatever. So this one was one where I was, like, cleaning data. And, like, I had to, like, focus on this task. But, like, I had Steel Wars on the background. And I just remember, like, having to stop, like, 4 different times and just be like, what the heck am I listening to? So... the best thing about this is the quote unquote George Lucas keeps talking about his adventures with Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
And just like the way he keeps bringing up and Francis. But so there's one great part where he's talking about hunting and eating people. And that's what he now does with his free time now that he doesn't make Star Wars movies.
But you don't think it's your time to come back then and make something that the people that you'll be proud of?
Yeah, I really want to come back and I want to make movies for these assholes who are mean to me and make my life a living hell. No, I'm going back to my ranch. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get back into sculpture. Me and Francis are going to go out there and we're going to hunt people with knives we've built ourselves out of human bones. That's what we do now. When was the last film Francis Ford Coppola made? He's not making films anymore.
He's making knives.
Yeah, he's making knives to hunt humans. You should come with me, Mason. You'll change as a man. You'll be a different person now, and you realize, oh, this is bullshit. There's nothing more real than hunting another human being. Stalking them for days. Hearing them whimper in the night. They can never sleep again. And then before you know it, as they drift off, I'm just going to get a little shut-eye. You push a knife through the back of their neck, and it goes up. And they see it and they go, I've been hunted. That's the last thing they say. I've been hunted. What a weird thing to say before you die.
It's really weird.
Oh yeah, but it's fun. You should come along.
Okay.
So yeah, he's alright.
Steel Wars exclusive.
How do you cook a human?
You tie them on a pole, you put an apple in their mouth, you spin around, just like you'd cook a Wookiee. Very similar. You know what Wookiee tastes like? Chicken, yeah.
This theme of, like, eating continues into how, like, Rey's mission is now to eat Chewbacca, because, like, this is, like, just crack at its finest right here. because Han, like, his dying wish with Han was to, like, Han was supposed to eat Chewie, but, like, he's dead. So now, you know, it's gotta be Rey. But I what also was, like, great about this is, like, Steel, like, man, like, most of my episodes are live because, like, he's just, like, it's so hard to do these live episodes. And he's so amazing at taking the conversation and running with it or getting it back on track or... you know, he works so well with every host that's on there, and man, like, the way that he can just come off of these, like, just crackpot sentences and, like, talks and just, like, keep it going. It's just like I'd just be sitting there like, what the hell. Yeah, and he's just, oh gosh, the reactions are just hysterical.
Just yeah, the entire episode is fantastic. So it's for the listener, definitely. I mean, you're going to hear the clips and think, oh man, that was neat. There's so much more. You've got yeah. to dig in because it is so worth it.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Weekly Planet fan. So whenever Nick Mason does anything with Steel, that's always a lot of fun. Or even like I've had times where I had a week where like I was having a week. And the Weekly Planet upload their pod and Steel was on theirs. And it's just like so great when all three of them get together because, you know, the hosts of Weekly Planet work so well together and then you throw Steel on and it's a lot of fun.
Well, we've got a couple of other live episodes that we'll get to, but in between there, we've got episode 21, which I suspect a lot of longtime listeners will definitely recall probably the first time they ever heard this, and it was watching The Force Awakens teaser for the first time with his buddy Paul Verhoeven. So give me your take on this one.
So my favorite thing about being in fandom is the hype. I mean, as much as you want it to end, I live for the hype. I mean, especially in this kind of fandom, because, and again, like, I stayed out of this with The Force Awakens, so, like, I think I love this episode because it's almost, like, kind of a pang of regret of this is what I missed. And I had, like, a great time with the lead up to The Last Jedi. And then, you know, 9's going to be interesting. But yeah, especially in this fandom, it's a lot of fun because, you know, frankly, Jason Ward makes it a lot of fun with whatever he can find in between, like, while it's filming. But so one of my favorite things is just fan reactions to, like, I mean, understanding the excitement that we all experience. And I think it's something that anybody, especially in big fandoms where there's a lot of opinions, I mean, it's something that hopefully, like, we can all get behind, and that's really fun. So just that level of excitement.
All right. Okay. You ready?
It's like that Simpsons episode where Jacques, the bowler, you know, that tries to have an affair with Marge. It's like the moment of anticipation. All right. Good luck, everyone. This is it. Don't touch me.
Oh. 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 Holy shit. Oh. Oh. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Do you want to watch it again?
Yes.
Let's do it again. Do it again.
Where'd it go?
There we go.
Steel is one of those people who just genuinely loves Star Wars, like, and he just wants it to be good, and he just wants to experience it with other people, and it's just really pure. It's just really, like, it's just fun. It's just my favorite part of fandom recorded and put in a really nice episode.
Well, he's such a good dude, and to hear somebody that is that good of a person enjoying something that, you know, you could, because you can definitely put yourself in that position and think, you know, because of what it means to you, but he has a unique way of making things that, like, if you try to explain to someone, hey, let's listen with no video to a guy watching the Force Awakens teaser. Well, you literally just said the dumbest sentence you could ever say to somebody, but it is, it's such a good listen. It's so engaging.
Yeah. No, yeah.
So speaking of Paul Verhoeven, your very next episode, and it's a live one, episode 40 with Paul, Ronnie Chang, and Tegan Higginbotham. This is like leading, this is, let's see, in relation to it, The Force Awakens wasn't out yet. So this is like getting close to big time here.
Yeah. So the first thing I have to say is I have to air my Steel Wars grievance of, so in the very beginning of this episode, he's like talking about an upcoming Christmas special thing that he was doing. And, you know, he takes a bit of a hit on my dear Lumpawaru.
Easily the worst thing in Star Wars. If you did not like the Phantom Menace, you haven't met Lumpy the Wookiee.
Oh, poor Lumpy.
It's just whatever. I was listening to it and I was like, I audibly gasped and I got really upset and I tweeted about it, but it's fine. Anyway, so I was at a recording of one of the more recent episodes that Ronnie was on live from New York. And he like has this, I guess it's a shtick. I can't tell with Ronnie. I think this is my favorite thing with him. Like, I don't know like what is actually his beef and what's not. So, you know, he has this whole thing with the EU, which I don't think he's ever read because he doesn't know who Thrawn is, but whatever, it's funny.
We should have all chipped in.
Yeah, I really think we could have started a possible campaign.
No. Then you get everyone thinking of stakeholders and everyone contributing ideas. Everyone just shut up. Let JJ
because no one in Star Wars fandom does that already.
Yeah. Too intense. Speaking of that, so.
Oh, God.
So you've been dreading this moment for a year now, ever since I called you out on it. You've refused to have it on your podcast because you're too scared I'll confront you with this. But let's get this
amazing.
On open. Yeah, let's get this on open here. Steel Saunders, before the movie, before what episode is the new one?
Seven.
Before seven. What's it called? Force Awakens. Yep. Before Force Awakens was announced, okay? What did you, Steel Saunders, feel about the expanded universe? Tell the people.
It went on a bit long.
What?
The expanded universe went on a bit long.
Yeah, too far. Too far.
Expanded, the universe expanded too far.
Smaller universe.
So you don't like the expanded universe at all?
I thought some of it was good. The Timothy Zahn books were good, and a lot of the books, like the one-shot books, were good. But
okay. At its core, you just hate all that shit.
No, this is you. I don't know what this is.
No, Ben, please clarify. Clarify your stance on the expanded universe before the movie got announced. Because I feel that you can't be a real Star Wars nerd unless you actually know the expanded universe. That's what I'm saying. Does anyone else agree? No. You don't need to. So you guys are not EU fans?
No. I'm an EU fan. I read the books all through high school.
No, but it's not about whether you like it. It's that this is what is it is.
Oh, me and Steel almost came to blows before making up and aggressively
and
making love.
Yeah.
So I just feel like you'll hate it. That thing is part of the story. It's like reading has anyone actually read Lord of the Rings? Yeah. I read through. I was hating every page. I still finished it. Because it's part of the story. I was like, fuck, there's a song. How do you, what's the, another song. What's the melody for? I didn't even know the melody. I gotta read the lyrics now. Stupid elves with their goddamn, and every blade of grass being described.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Ronnie's a scene, man. And it like the episode you're talking about that you were at, listen to that. And it's, does this guy, has he ever seen a Star Wars movie? His whole take on, you know, it's something else, man. So how was that live episode being there? I bet that was a really good time.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Because that was like right after The Last Jedi release, more or less.
Yeah,
you know what's funny is like, it's just so interesting, I think, like when you're listening to it, like, again, because I'm a huge fan of the live episodes, I'm just like, Steel is just so good at bouncing off of what everybody has to say. Like, it's like, this just baffles me because it's such a tough skill to have. And he's just, it's interesting, like, when you're listening to it versus, like, when you're actually watching it. And Ronnie's tough, man, because, like, he will just lead you into so many, like, kind of dead ends sometimes. Because he just, like, like, he will just stick to his guns, which, like, right on. But, like, oh, man. He's, like, again, like, their personalities together are just so good. He's just a character.
So the last episode, which this must be your favorite Steel Wars episode ever.
This is my favorite Steel Wars episode of all time. Yeah.
Episode 145, a live episode with the two Joels. And just tell me about this one. I love this episode because I'm into that same sort of nerdery that they are. But tell me about this one for you.
So I think this one, because, and this is just another one where everybody just works so well together in terms of just bouncing off of each other. But like, Steel is especially savage in this one. So, because there's a part in the beginning where it's like a little dark, and like, you know, they're kind of joking about how their parents, you know, split over like Star Wars. I mean, you kind of have to listen to it. I explain it terribly.
Although weirdly, if you look at the Jurassic Park franchise, and sorry to talk about Jurassic Park in a Star Wars podcast, but if you weirdly look at Jurassic Park, a lot of that is about how wholesome like a family unit is, of a mum and a dad and like several kids. Like a lot of their films is about bringing a family together, and it just comes in every single one of them. Even to the point with the new one, you almost have Chris Pratt and the other, what's her name?
Bryce Dallas Howard, franchise killer.
Yeah, franchise killer. Walking up basically looks like an aisle, and it's just so weird that we have this kind of like, no, the family unit should go together. Don't get divorced. Stay together for the kids. And that's in your dinosaur film? And I don't know why, but it's almost in every single one of them.
All right. Let's go back to the beginning, you guys.
All right.
And let's talk about your first memories of Star Wars.
I have like a wholesome answer to this. It's like,
what is an unwholesome? Bro, I was like, in an orgy and
I looked up.
The orgy was in a theater. That's where they had him in 83. All right, give us your wholesome answer.
So,
what was that? Don't reply to that one.
No, okay. That one's just between
that
us.
That is not a good look.
Yeah, so the rear... the that guy's dying. Carry on. Just raise your hand if you need CPR.
You are having... You have stained your white hoodie with happiness. You are just oozing happiness everywhere.
All right, wholesome.
Oh, my God. There's a guy in the second row doing a Salacious Crumb impression. It's great.
So, when I was, like, six is the exact time that the original trilogy got the re-release in the cinemas. So I saw all three original trilogy films in the cinema for the first time when I was, like, six with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My parents got divorced not that long after that. So, like, it's like an early
You should have gone to see Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You should have, man. The wholesome one. Star Wars is about splitting up the family and separating them across galaxies.
Well, Mom wasn't at Star Wars, so maybe if she came, they would have stayed together.
Ah.
No, it's okay. It's all good. I still see my dad. It's fine. But yeah, so like my first...
It's like a little voice crackle then. Still see my dad.
It's fine.
I'm having good times.
I just need to quickly go make a phone call.
Every time you see like a Darth Vader cosplay, you're like, please be him. Please be him.
Dad, are you back? Found their cigarettes yet?
And then there's also like a part in the beginning that had me crying laughing, and I'll just preface. I grew up, and my mother was a Christian fundamentalist, and so I grew up with all that kind of stuff, and like we had the Footprints in the Sand, like, religious poem thing. I don't exactly know what it is, but you know, we had that on keychains, and it right. was on a poster in our house, and like we had it everywhere. So he Steele does this thing in the beginning where he like takes that poem and he like adapts it for like God trolling one of those, you know, boycott Star Wars people.
Today, Matt is counting on you. Matt Vella needs your help with Kathleen Kennedy, Lucasfilm, remove J.J. Abrams as director of Star Wars Episode 9. Join Matt and 236 supporters today. So it popped up. And I was like, oh, Matt's counting on me. Like, it's so weird. It reminded me of, you guys know that awesome, I don't know if it's a poem or a song or, they're words, about a guy walking down the beach with God. Do you guys know that about the support? Right. So this is a bit of a pricey of it. So and I feel like this, like Matt could have written this to God. No one expected the podcast to go this way. Admittedly. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. From each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord.
But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. The Lord whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever. During your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I was on Twitter laughing about your petition." What a fair and just God.
It was just so out of nowhere and so unique and so... Oh, gosh. But no, the whole episode is just like, there's not a slow bit in it. It's everybody just, it's just hysterical. And it's, I mean, I think an absolute testament to like how amazing Steele is live. Not that all of his other live episodes aren't phenomenal, but this one especially is perfection.
Yeah, it is super good. And it's, if anybody listen to this, if you get a chance to go to one of Steele's live shows, definitely do it. I can't say it enough. They're a super good time. And I mean, for one thing, you're just going to meet a bunch of people who are into the same stuff you are, which is really cool. It's a good community. But oh my God, man, the guy's so fast on his feet, and the hangouts afterwards are just as fun as the show.
So fun. Yeah. I mean, because everybody, I think that's the great thing about the community that he puts together, is it's just genuine fans of Star Wars just wanting to talk about Star Wars. I mean, there's no, you know, because obviously, like, this is a big fandom. Not everybody agrees. We do have a lot of issues like any other fandom does. And he's just, I think, that consistent, just like reinforcing like good energy within the fandom, and the people who come along with that are all great. And, yeah, he just really supports like a lot of positivity, which is so rare, especially for people who are, you know, more forward facing. And, you know, a lot of these people tend to get really negative, and he's just always super, super positive. And there's so many people I know through him and through that pod, and just so many of like the positive voices, I think, really come from like his corner and just the making Star Wars corner in general. But yeah, I think he's definitely an outstanding force in that circle.
Absolutely. Well, Katie, thanks so much for picking such killer episodes. These have been a good time. One of the best parts about doing these shows is like getting the reminder of, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. And it's super fun to go back and check these out. And you definitely did your homework on this one. And I'm glad to know that it's not just seven moments that you really like. It's the top seven. In reverse order, so ace job. So tell the listeners, where can they find out more about what you do?
So you can find me, I'm mostly on Twitter at KMMCCORT.
Just so you guys know, Katie did an episode of the Wookiee Genome Project with Robbo, who we talked about. You guys are familiar with him. Above, the subject was, is Luke Skywalker, or I guess was, a pacifist. It is fantastic. Definitely a good listen. She's awesome. Don't let her sell herself short.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, no, Robbo's an amazing person to do podcasts with, because he's like an encyclopedia. And he does like so much like research into the coolest little tidbits of things that I never would have thought of. And he's such like a treasure trove of information. And we usually actually disagree, but to a point where we can have like an amazing conversation on it. That pacifist one in particular, where I'm a bit more on the fence and he's very much no. He's one of my favorite people in the fandom, and we have a lot of fun on that pod.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely good, and ace job on it. And again, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you taking time to record this with me. And I think people are really gonna like the stuff that you picked.
Yeah, thanks so much. This is great.
And there we have it, another episode of Strahler's Wars. I wish I would have remembered to talk to Katie about her lightsaber collection. She's got some pretty cool stuff. I hope that you'll go back and check out the full-length version of each one of the episodes that we talked about in this episode. If you are a Patreon supporter and you would like to be on an episode of Strahler's Wars,
All you got to do is comment on the Patreon post for this episode, and I'll reach out to you and we'll figure it out. If you're not a Patreon supporter, you can take care of that right now. For just $1 a month, you can have access to all of the entire back catalog of regular Steel Wars episodes, all the way back to episode one when it was still called This Is Not the Podcast You're Looking For. And for just $3 a month, you can have access to all of the Patreon exclusive shows, such as The Robbo Report, Chicklin Strikes Back, Making Steel Wars with MakingStarWars.net's very own Jason Ward, and the Year by Podcast with Hawes Burkhart from Blue Harvest and Rogue One. If you want to find out more about what I do, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Strathers. You can check out my Star Wars podcast, The Bad Motivators, and you can find me on the Making Star Wars Podcast Network's The Sith List, where we discuss all things geek, but the only thing I know about is Star Wars. Go figure, right? Anyway, guys, that's going to do it. I am out of here. And may that force be with you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
If you're after more Star Wars listening, please check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network at makingstarwars.net, where you can find such great podcasts as Blue Harvest, First Order Transmissions, Idiots Array, Making Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting, Podcast 2187, Rebel Girl, Rogue One, Tarkin's Top Shelf, The Cargo Hold, and The Sith List. So that's planetbroadcasting.com and makingstarwars.net. Los Angeles tickets are now on sale for our final live podcast of the year at Geeky Tees Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank on Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. For the first time ever, we'll be doing a live podcast version of our annual Listener Prediction Review Show, where we review all the Star Wars news predictions that you guys made at the start of the year. I'll be joined on stage by a grip of previous Steel Wars guests, along with the live audience, to help us decide who was the Jedi Master Star Wars predictor for 2018. And spoiler alert, I did not fare well in this competition. It's going to be a hilarious afternoon of live Star Wars fun, Saturday, December 15th, 4 p.m. at Geeky Tees Burbank. Tickets are on sale at merchostore.com. The link is in the show notes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.